Right now, what we want to do starting out today is some of you had questions. So we're going to have some of our pastors answer those questions. So, Emilio, would you come up first and read your questions and then answer your questions? And Apostle Al is going to be here. And Pastor Phil. So all three of you come up here, and they're going to come up, and they're going to be answering some questions that you have.
Right. So I'll answer one, and then I'll pass the baton here, and then we'll get to the other one. The question that I have is this. If you prayed forgiveness prayer and don't want to be reconciled, does that mean you didn't really forgive? It's a tough question. You can forgive and not be reconciled. But the way this question reads is if you don't want to be reconciled, there might still be an attitude problem with your heart. I think about it this way. God has forgiven us, right? We have been forgiven. But he also wants to be reconciled. There are many people out there that have been forgiven that don't know it, that have not been yet reconciled back to the Father. But God's heart is for reconciliation, correct? So I think what I would say to the individual who wrote this is if you prayed forgiveness and you don't want to be reconciled, you really need to go back before God and say, do I still have an attitude problem in my heart? Have I really forgiven? And hear what God has to say to you about it.
Sometimes reconciliation is not a really good idea, especially if there's an abusive situation or you continually there's continual conflict. Sometimes it's not a good idea. So the main thing is that you remain safe, deal with your heart, but also remain safe.
If a Christian commits suicide, where do they end up? What is the unpardonable sin? Is it murder? No. Is it suicide? No. Are we God? No. The only thing that is not pardonable is if a Christian blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Not an unsaved person, because they don't know. And so who are we to say at the last minute someone didn't call upon the name of the Lord? Or someone who was so oppressed by the demonic that was harassing them, and that's why we're all here, so we can set them free from those things that would cause them to do something that would end their life. Who are we to say that the grace of God didn't spare them in their dying breath? It's not the unpardonable sin. So where do they go? Well, my Bible teaches me that when a saint breathes their last, they are instantly in the presence of the King of Glory. Is that the way he intended for them to go? No. So don't create a religious structure that's going to put people in bondage, especially the relatives of those who may have died prematurely. Because a lot of times what we do is we work for the enemy, heaping guilt and condemnation on those that remain behind. If they breathe their last and they love the Lord, he knows where they are. Amen?
The question that I was given was, please explain the difference between mercy and grace. And it is a question that many do ask, because many people use the term synonymously, but there are some very distinct differences between the two. You see, mercy is God not punishing us for our sins that are really deserving of punishment. It's when God extends mercy to us when we should be in subject to a certain degree of judgment. But really what God does in his great mercy, he extends that mercy to us, which is deliverance from judgment. So the distinction to be made is when you think about grace, and God's blessing is on us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. See, his grace is extended to us when there are times when we can look at where we're at and what our journey has been, and we don't deserve the goodness that he extends to us. But he yet, in his goodness, extends that grace to us, even though we don't deserve it. Praise God. All right.
What do we do when we've been hurt or abused by a leader, or gossiped about or labeled wrongly, and we forgive them, but they still haven't repented or aren't safe? Still, they haven't repented or won't stop the offensive behavior, even if you ask them to. So this is a two-part question. Who are we responsible for? Us. We cannot make anybody else repent. We cannot make anybody else forgive. We are only responsible for ourselves in the things that we do, the things that we say. So in a situation, if you have forgiven, then forgiveness, according to God's word, is you forgive as he is forgiven. How is that? Unconditionally. Is your forgiveness based upon whether or not they repent? If it is, then you have to examine that, right? So if you've forgiven and they haven't responded to your forgiveness, that is not your problem, not your issue, not for you to be concerned with. The second part of that is, if they haven't repented, or there's a piece here that says, or you don't feel safe, and the offensive behavior continues, even if you ask them to stop, what do you do? Why? I would answer it this way. You should not stay in a place where you do not feel safe. If you are in a place where you feel that leadership or any place where you feel unsafe, unprotected by a leader, you shouldn't stay in that place. You should leave. And we, you know, isn't that a common problem when it comes to personal relationships? People are afraid to leave. Even though they're in an abusive situation, they're afraid to leave. So you need to ask to be delivered from that fear that keeps you in a place that is unsafe, so that you can be free to move on into the place of safety that God has for you.
Before I read the next question, I want to go back to the previous question about suicide. There is a spirit of suicide that is a generational issue or a people group issue, and that is something different that has to be addressed through much spiritual warfare and finding out what the roots of it are, because it's rampant in this next generation, and there's an issue that has to be dealt with. If we buried stuff, how do we know that we forgave? Is it a treasure? Isn't that what we're supposed to be holding on to, is the treasures of the Lord? His promises and his word. If I have suppressed something, that's what this morning was about, was dealing with those issues that we have buried in our soul. I can't remember if it was Gerda or if it was Flora that said, even a bulldozer can't get it out. If I've buried something, I probably have not forgiven. So I'm going to repeat something I said to Flora at lunchtime. Jesus didn't say, make your checklist and check it off 490 times and then you're okay. That's called burying. He was teaching the disciples that when you can forgive them so that you love them like I love them, then you've forgiven them. When you can love unconditionally, then you've forgiven, and there's nothing that's buried. And when you've done that, the enemy can't attack you in that anymore. Are there specific instances that we minister identification repentance with someone? Is it for people who have experienced abuse? There are always instances that when you are ministering deliverance and inner healing to people, that you will run across the need for identification repentance. We never minister to the opposite sex alone. No one ever should. So when Casey and I are ministering, there's usually other people with us. If there's a need to address mother issues with a man, she addresses them. If there's a need to address father issues with a woman, I address them. And oftentimes, in an abusive situation, there's both. Because mom abused the kids and dad was silent, or vice versa. And if you're going to be ministering, you got to know that in today's society, women are abusing children as much, if not more, than men. And so, yes, there is needs for identificational repentance. If people have experienced abuse, the need is even greater. And so if the case I just mentioned actually took place, and many times when a dad abused the children, mom stood by silence, just like Emilio addressed, because of the fear of what would happen if she spoke up. But the victim needs to become a victor. And so they need to know that mom was sorry for being silent. They also need to know that dad is asking forgiveness for the wrong that he did. So in the case of an abuse, you're probably going to have both a woman identificationally repent on behalf of the silence or the abuse, and vice versa, the man identificationally repent on behalf of either the abuser or being silent in the case. Many times when things happen in the home, dads today are either absent or silent. That absenteeism is the same as not standing up and defending the child from what took place. So generally we found that we have to minister that identification repentance from both sides so that the person can become whole and see Father for who he really is.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. We're so blessed to have so many godly leaders in this territory. We thank you. Thank you so much. What we're going to do now is we're going to do soul ties. So I'm going to ask Patty to come up and explain what a soul tie is, and then we're going to break them.
Good afternoon. I'd like to pray first. Oh, Father, thank you that you have gathered us together for such a time as this. We thank you that you are doing a great and mighty work amongst us. We thank you that whether we can feel it or not, you have changed things today. You have driven away the darkness, broken chains, and you have let in more space for your light to grow deeper and brighter in us so that we can be a light to the world. So we praise you, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in and just heavily blanket us today as we go through soul ties. We bless your name, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Soul ties. What is a soul tie? Something that has a hold on you that is not supposed to be a part of you. It is a hindrance to the soul that creates a fragmentation. I just want to say, as you know, the harvest comes in, which we know the harvest is coming in. in prayer have seen that this is going to be something we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with people who need these soul ties. Of course, they won't know what that is, but being ministers of the word and good students, we'll be able to teach them and to break these things off of them. This in particular, some of it does deal with sexual relations outside of marriage. So I just can see that as being something we're going to be called to minister with people for. And I do think we need some equipping to do that, as well as, of course, right now to have this be done within ourselves, whatever's left over. All right. So it is a hindrance to the soul and it creates a fragmentation. These soul ties create unwanted baggage. They are a link to the past, which creates a hold on us, which is not supposed to be a part of us. Our lives were meant to be tied up to God only. Our lives were meant to be tied up to God only. The term soul tie is not specifically found in Scripture, but the concept is. And the terms in Scripture we find are the words knit, bound, cleave or clave, and joined. Knit is to be bound together or tied together. Cleave, to adhere to fasten together, to be glued or joined or linked. Cleave, to bind, to enclose. This is interesting. It just shows you, we were speaking a little bit about the legal issues with what we do and sin and heaven and all of that whole idea. The term cleave is also to be placed under legal or moral restraint or obligation. So it can show you how certain sins that are in our lives and others' lives, it does put us under like a legal system where it allows the enemy some access. So we want to get rid of that. Joined, to bring together so as to form a unit, to connect, to knit, to cleave, join, and bound. This is what we are talking about. And these words can be found in Scripture. There are both ungodly soul ties and godly soul ties. An example of a godly soul tie would be marriage. Genesis 2:24 in the King James Version. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Our relationship with the Lord, with the Father and the Holy Spirit is a godly soul tie, and we want more of that. 1 Corinthians 6:17 in the New King James Version. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So, oh Lord, let us be joined to you more and more deeply. We can have healthy soul ties with friends and family members. 1 Samuel 18:1 in the New King James Version. Now when he, David, had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That just sounds so beautiful. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The word tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. Examples of ungodly soul ties are 1 Corinthians 6:16 in the New King James Version. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Genesis 44:22 and 29-31 in the New King James Version, Jacob's ungodly tie with Benjamin. And we said to the Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would surely die. And then it goes on, you shall bring my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. When I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up with the lad's life, it will happen that when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So there it is, that there's such a binding that even somebody's life can depend on on another person and the relationship and the deep depth of being stuck, really, in that relationship, which is not healthy at all. Genesis 34, 1 to 3a, King James Version. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, who also was the daughter of Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. So those are just some scriptural examples of ungodly and godly soul ties. Whenever a person engages in sexual activity with someone other than their spouse, an ungodly soul tie is created. Every ungodly sexual encounter which has created an ungodly soul tie must be broken. And Versi, can you help me with a little demo? You're so beautiful today, so pretty. I want you to come up and help me. This is an example of when people are knit and glued and bound together, how it brings about a fragmentation and an actual unwholeness. So could you try to please undo these two pieces of paper? Yeah. See what you get there. This is a picture of what happens when we have sexual encounters outside of marriage. Pieces of us go with the other person, and pieces of the other person stay with us. This is great when we're married. However, this creates baggage and fragmentation in us when it happens outside of marriage. Can everybody see what's happening? How things are just stuck together and you really cannot pull it apart. Thank you so much. That's a mess. That's a word from God. This is a mess. This is a mess. Oh. People who have had sexual encounters outside of marriage have pieces of their soul scattered and are in need of restoration and healing. And like I said before, the Holy Spirit had me write this again. So since he's bringing it up twice, we will encounter this when the harvest comes in. We will encounter this with ministry. We will encounter this when we are ministering deliverance. This is something that needs to be addressed. There are also ungodly soul ties with other people. This must be a tongue twister. Ungodly soul ties with other people. Non-sexual in nature, and also with places, things, or events, which I think is very important to go over. When a person is so emotionally tied to something, someone, some place, an event, or a thing, that has more control over us and in us than God does. So it is an ungodly tie. We need to be certain that nothing and no one has God's place in our lives and in our hearts and in our beings. When we have an ungodly tie to something or a place or an event, and we have that occupy a piece of our minds and hearts and souls, it is like leaving a door open, a door to our soul. And things can occur in us that just create and cement, you know, the bondage even more. Now, some symptoms of ungodly soul ties, the Holy Spirit, he downloaded this list to me, and I coupled it with experience in ministry and experience that I've had because I came to the Lord at a older age of 46, so there was a lot of baggage. So being on the ministry team for deliverance, I have gone through a lot of deliverance in order to be able to even speak and stand up here before you. So so since that's been 11 years ago, some of what I was bound in, these ungodly soul ties to even places and events and things, I can still recall what that bondage felt like. And it is burdensome, it is weighty, it is keeps you downtrodden, it keeps you always like you're here, but a part of you is still there. You're here doing this, but you're constantly remembering that. And it is just such baggage, and we're so blessed that we have ways and means to shed that baggage, to break these ties, and to really receive the fullness of what God has for us. Some symptoms of ungodly soul ties: frequently remembering the person, place, thing, event with a strong, overwhelming emotion. Harboring anger or lust or longing for the person, place, thing, or event. Feeling fragmented, like a part of you is still there, or like a part of you is missing that, say, place. Because like you're going there so often with your mind and emotions and remembrances, like a part of you is being taken back. When you recall the person, place, thing, or event, emotions well up, which have an effect of covering us over, or is like a heaviness upon us. If you can think, like I can remember my grandmother speaking about Germany, and when she used to tell the stories, it wasn't just the stories. There were tears, there was weeping, there was, and you'd listen to this, what was supposed to be a happy story, but you realize, wow, she's like broken still and wants to be there. It's like that depth of emotion is like we're tied with that place in an ungodly manner. Another symptom is deeply missing the person, place, or thing, like you have a feeling of mourning over it or grieving. Wishing again and again you could go back and be at the place or with the person. Feelings of dread, despair, or doom when you encounter or remember the person, place, thing, or event. And over a person, feeling like you are enslaved to them or controlled by them. When, say, we encounter someone who we've had an experience with of the past, and as soon as we see them walking in a room or down the street, it evokes in us these dread feelings or fear, or you're scared or like, you know, you can bet there's an ungodly soul tie there that has to be broken. And we do have some examples, because I like to give more examples because we all understand. I think it's pretty clear about having sexual activity outside of marriage, other than with your spouse. But we do have some examples that are other than that. So I think Mary Ann, if she's here, I don't see you. She had an example. And then Flora has an example.
This was a place situation in my life. When I went to a small community college for 2 years, and it was my first time away from home, and it was my first time of independence, and I had had a challenging childhood, so this was just a wonderful place for me. And I had 2 wonderful years at this university and loved it, and oh, it was just great, great, great. Well, I graduated from there, and I transferred to another university here at Brockport, actually. And I so missed and longed for my Hilbert College days. And at one point I realized, you know, it's hindering your enjoyment, your learning, and your pleasure here at Brockport because you wish you were back there. So I just had to, it was no heavy-duty, spiritual, heavy-revy thing for me. I just had to realize, wait a minute, this is robbing me of the joy of today. And even though maybe my Brockport experience wasn't as grand as the Hilbert experience, I had to say, that was good, that was then, but I'm here now. So, Lord, what do you have for me here now? And enjoy that as it was a good experience, but appreciate where I am today and not allow it to control my future and destiny. And so I did that, and it was a great thing. So that's just a place example.
Mine was a place, too. I'm from the South, and I've been up here 50 years. But when I had to leave my family, and I didn't want to live up here to start with, But I met my husband in this area, and so we got married, and so this was my new home. But every time, even I had children. I mean, I was a grown woman. And every time we would go home and I'd be there, I'd cry all the way home, all the way back to New York State. And it happened every single time. And then one night, the Lord gave me a dream, and he showed me that I had one hand. I was like in this crevice, and I had one hand on this landmass, and I had one hand on this landmass, and I was totally just suspended. I wasn't going anywhere. I was just totally suspended. And he told me, he says, you got to make a choice where you're going to be. And he said, and I could see Jesus was over here, and this was the north. I could see that's where Jesus was. Not that he stays in the north, but this was in my dream. And I thought, the only way I'm going to get out of this crevice is to let go of this side. So in the dream, I let go of that side. It enabled me to start climbing out to the other side. And when I got to the other side, Jesus came over and put his arm around me, and he began to point in a certain direction. I had a soul tie with the South. I could not be happy in the North. And I could not really be happy with my husband until I broke that soul tie that was bound in me to my Southern family.
Okay. And I had an experience where for decades I remembered this boyfriend I used to have. And it was not like appropriate, because then when I got married here, I'm in Rochester, this was BC, you know, before the Lord. So I'm no longer married, but anyway. I realized I love this man, but this David just keeps coming back. And it was really haunting because I hadn't seen him, for 10 years. And I never understood till I went through deliverance that was a soul tie. And when I met the Lord and found the Lord at the end of a year, it naturally was broken. He broke it. Hallelujah. But it was the weirdest thing to really not be a believer and feel this haunting of these things. People go through hell, I'll tell you, because you don't understand it, and it's tormentive and it's haunting. So praise God that he is a God who sets us free. Then, you know, the other thing, more recently, I found this very interesting. I pondered, what is an event? I have to come up with an event. And the Lord showed me when my daughter got married last June, there was so much put into it. It was such a blessing of God that she found a great husband and was getting married. And we were able to pull together the money for a beautiful wedding at the Bellhurst Castle. And there was so much put into it that when I left there that weekend, I cried. And then the feeling of it missing that event lingered for like a month. And I was so surprised that this happened. And I had to get before the Lord and say, you've got to break this. I feel like I'm tied to that event, and I keep replaying it over and over and wishing we could do it again. And I just had to nip that baby in the bud because I did not. And so now I can talk about it and, you know, explain and show pictures, and I'm not all longing to go back to the day. So we have to be on our toes, you know, all the time. We really do. Yeah. So what we are going to do is, you have a soul ties worksheet in your book, because this is pretty straightforward. You know, we're going to take some time with the Holy Spirit to show us people, places, things, past events, and we can write them in our list. And they're going to play some nice background music, Julie True Healing Love music. It's really nice. If we can take a few minutes, please, to ask the Lord to bring to our remembrance some of these things that we've spoken about this morning. Let him, you know, go within and reveal to us what needs to go on that piece of paper so he can break us free. He will show you ties. You already know some ties that might be obvious to you in your life. So I say, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to show yourself strong on our behalf this afternoon. We glorify you, we adore you, we worship you. We praise you for all you are doing on our behalf in order for us to walk in greater freedom, free from the bondage, the baggage of soul ties. We decree and declare that you are a God that heals, and we thank you for that this afternoon. Reveal to us now our soul ties, Lord. Show us, speak to us, recall to our memory, give us a vision, a still small voice, an impression, a feeling. As we wait on you, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Soul Ties Prayer of Release. And it's in your book. everybody could please, if we could stand together, that would be great. Okay. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself completely to you. I confess all of my emotional and sexual sins as well as my ungodly soul ties. I choose to forgive each person that I have been involved with in any wrong way. I choose to let go of all persons, places, events, and things that I have allowed to have control over me. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sin that resulted in ungodly soul ties. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me and for cleansing me. I choose to forgive myself, to no longer be angry with myself, hate myself, or punish myself. Lord, I break my ungodly soul ties with... If we could just, inside of our heads, say what was on our list. We'll take a moment for that. I release myself from him, her, it, and I release him, her, it from me. As I do this, Lord, I pray that you would cause him, her to be all that you want him, her to be, and that you would cause me to be all that you want me to be. Lord, please cleanse my mind from all memories of ungodly unions so I am totally free to give myself to you and to my mate. I ask that every piece of myself that was given in an ungodly way be brought back healed and restored. I also ask that any piece of someone else be sent back to him, her, in Jesus' name. I bless them, and I ask for healing for them, as well as myself. I renounce and cancel the assignments of all evil spirits attempting to maintain these ungodly ties. Lord, thank you for restoring my soul to wholeness. Let me walk in holiness by your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. So in a minute or two, we're going to put them in the trash can. But before that, I just want to add that during this week, the Lord may reveal more to you in your quiet time with him, or he may show you something as you drive to work. Holy Spirit knows what or who you need to break soul ties with, and he will reveal this to you. Use the prayer in your booklet as many times as you want to, and we can also use the prayer to minister to others. We decree that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we seal this session. We seal the work you have done with the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the sozo life you purchased for us at the cross. And right now, we rejoice in greater freedom this afternoon because of your great love for us. We praise you and we thank you. And Lord, where everything has been removed today through all the sessions, we pray for a deeper infilling of your Holy Spirit. We pray for a deeper flood of your love, your compassion, and your mercy, Father. We thank you that because you have removed what is unwanted, we have broken the chains and we have made ourselves larger. We say that you grow greater in us. So fill us, Father. Fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit, that we look more like you after today. We walk more like you, and we are your representatives in the earth realm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, how we did it last time, to come, came down the center and dumped those ties in the trash.
Any of these things come up, anything else come up, you have the tools now that you can use. and be sure you utilize them. We want to give a chance if anybody has a testimony, maybe a 1 or 2 minute testimony. What God has done. Okay.
I just wanted to share, this has to do with self-forgiveness and how you are a new creation in Christ. At our home group a couple weeks ago that I attend, we were listening to Dutch Sheets speak on An Appeal to Heaven, which is a little book he wrote. And he reached this one point in his message where he was talking about how we as believers are broken and different things in our lives, and we need to heal, the breaches need to be healed. And he talked about how if we just would understand what happened at the cross of Christ. And as soon as he said that, and I hope I can articulate what I saw, and I wish Richmond Fuchs was there that he could paint what I saw, the man that does those amazing paintings. I saw, like, my life and everything that happened in my life before Christ, and it was pretty ugly. And then all of a sudden, like, the cross was there, and I hit the cross, and everything changed. And the cross became a door, and as I went through the door, I was new in Christ, and I walked on the other side as that new person in Christ. So I just felt to share that in case anyone is still struggling with unforgiveness or of yourself, or if the enemy comes back and says, hey, you did this and that. Well, the Lord just gave me a powerful weapon that day, because I can say no, because it stopped at the cross and it's over and I am a new creation.
It's finished at the cross. Lynn, were you anybody else?
I'm not a very good speaker, so bear with me. I guess we all can have our cake and eat it too. My door wasn't always opened. Sometimes we want to do things that we want to do that we just can't. I had to let go of someone I loved very much. But today, I know I have to let him go. It's the best decision I've ever made. So, and sometimes it's hard to let go. But it also feels good. It feels good. And boy, do I feel good today. Hallelujah.
Thank you. It's hard to let go, but it sure does feel good. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Oh, Cindy?
I understand what you're saying, and you can see this a lot. There are, like, if women are in an abuse situation and they keep going back to it and back to it. I learned years ago when I was going through a deliverance, people that I had to let go, and I had realized at that time that a soul tie is a bonding. Like when married people are bonded together, there's that spiritual transaction that happens that bind you. And I had to learn that it was very difficult for me to face the fact that I had to let go of someone, but I had a very hard time because it hurt my heart. And I had realized at that time that that was a spiritual bonding that I had to ask God to release me from. And it was only God who could break it. And once I went to God in prayer and asked him to break it, my heart was lifted and everything. It just changed the entire situation. Because like marriage is a godly binding, there's also sin nature of any whatever sort is also a spiritual binding that in the spirit you have to break that bond. So don't be afraid to ask him. He'll do it for you.
Thank you. We have time for one more of something the Lord's done today. Anybody else? All right. This is Darlene.
Thank you. Today, this was something that I didn't want to do. I've had 1,000 reasons not to be here today. I took the wrong road to get here. I was late. Everything went wrong today, and I use these excuses. And as I'm sitting back there, I've had the whole box of tissue, and I just apologize for that. But couple of things. My family is going through with my dad, and I've let this consume so much of my time that I don't even think that I've given it to God. And today it was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So God was letting me know, if I let go and I do what I know is the thing to do for him, that he's going to take care of everything else. And then the second part of that was, my being here is allowing me to get free, because my family's going to need that freedom from me. I'm so wrapped up into everybody not doing right, and this is wrong and that's wrong, and why isn't she doing this and what? I need that freedom. And today was the day that, although it took so much for me to get here, it's the day that I needed to be here to get the freedom that I need, the deliverance that I need. So when that day comes, I will be able to be that light to my family and to show and just be the person that God wants me to be, and not be so wrapped up and caught up and tied up in the day-to-day, how is it going to work, what's going to work. Just be free, seek the kingdom, and God has it all.
We get free, and then we can help others get free, right? So that's what it's all about. It's all about God setting us free, and then we get free. We're going to get through a little bit early today, but that's probably okay, right? I just wanted to remind you of the next two sessions. The next session is on October the 31st, and we're going to do abandonment, rejection, and trauma, so you don't want to miss it. The third session will be November the 21st, and it's going to be Shepherd's Heart is hosting that, and it's going to be at Victory Community Church in Greece. And we're going to be doing the stronghold of fear, shame, and control, because they're a stronghold. We're going to be doing that, and possibly one other thing that we might be doing as well. So you be sure you want to sign up for that. I want to remind everybody that Bill Suddeth, whom we received our training from, is going to be here October the 16th through 18th. Al, it's going to be at Bethel, correct? 16th through the 18th, it's going to be at Bethel on the 16th from 7 to 9. That's a Friday night. On the 17th from 9 to 12 and 2 to 4. And on the 18th at 6 o'clock at Bethel. So you don't want to miss that. I did want to let you know, a lot of people have asked for copies of the identification repentance that was done today, and we will. And they've also asked for copies of the prophecy that was Pastor Emilio released. Was there anything else? And the blessing. We will have all of the copies of all of these with your next materials in session two, because we just weren't able to do it at this time. All right, so we'll have that available for you. I wanted to just do a little exhortation right now. Let the Lord continue to work, because whenever he does anything, he does it really in layers, because he knows exactly what we can take it, when we can take it. So, but let him. I mean, you've opened the door for him to work, so let him continue to work in setting you free. Don't try to bring things up. The Lord will bring things up. So as he brings them up, just deal with them. You have the tools to do that now. Satan will try to tell you that nothing's changed. What is he? He's a liar. So when he tells you nothing's changed, nothing's happened, you say, you are a liar. So don't allow him to do that. Continue to thank the Lord for what he's done, because he's always doing a good work. If you have any negative feelings that begin to surface, what do we do? We bless. we bless. So open your mouth and bless. Take the afternoon to relax and to rest. Sometimes we found that when people on an individual basis go through deliverance of any type of kind, very often they're very tired. Some of them feel numb. Some of them feel light. It affects people in different ways. So whatever makes you relax, whatever helps you to relax, whatever you enjoy doing, be sure you do that this afternoon. Let the Holy Spirit continue to work and to continue to minister. So, Father, we just thank you today that you've done such a mighty work. We thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And I want to send you out today with a special blessing. Pastor Phil, can you send them out today with a special blessing? Thank you.
Thank you. Before we pray and release you, I want to just take a moment and share the significance of the hour that we're in right now. I shared with the people of Bridge Builders about a month ago, I was releasing in the house that we needed to be very, very sensitive and aware to what God was doing in this hour. And it was connected to the fact that early in the year, as God was asking us to prioritize what our focus would be for the year, the word just deliverance kept coming into my spirit. And I released it to our house since the beginning of the year and told them I didn't know exactly what we were going to be doing or who was going to be doing what. All I knew that we were at a time and a place, an intersecting point, that God needed us to be set free individually and corporately in a variety of areas. And that got intensified as we went through the year because of something else that we were believing God for this year, that he was just going to unveil new insights and strategies, not just for the region, but for our own house. And I asked the Lord to begin to help me to connect the dots of what it is that he was releasing. We had so much that's been released in our region this year. Chuck Pierce and Jane Nesbitt and Hendrick. There's just so many things that have been happening. And then on top of the release about deliverance that the Lord has specifically given me. So we had been praying, our intercessors and others were praying, God, what do we make of all of this? He began to bring clarity about that. And right at the time that clarity was coming, I got the notice from Jubilee and the other members that Freedom Ministry was coming. And it was an answer to our prayer. Because we were actually in the process of beginning to solicit and talk to people that would either come in from outside of the area or that were in the area. I didn't know about the Freedom Ministry team here. So it was an immediate blessing for us. And then we got word through some of the other activities that we were engaged in with Lan and Bill Sudeth coming in. So we know that, at least in our house, we know that this is a strategic time because the prophetic words about what God wants to do in and through our individual lives and certainly in our region are very clear. But the word that God has given us, and I think what's happening in us unfolding right now, is that God is saying, if we could just get ourselves positioned to be set free, and admit that all of what he's released, the prophetic words, the encouragements, the exhortation, that they're just ready, waiting to break loose, if we can break loose. And that's what God is seeking to do in this hour. So I just give you that as we pray this blessing over all of you. For Father God, we just bless you first and foremost for the men and women of God that you have released in this hour to stimulate and release in our region this ministry opportunity for us to embrace, to in fact be delivered and set free from the many bondages and issues and strongholds that has suppressed us and negated us from moving into the places of destiny and purpose in our lives. So we stand with each and every one here today, Father God, to declare blessings over them. Father, we just declare that they are free and they are not bound. They are who you say they are. Let's say that. Would you repeat that? Say, I'm free. I'm not bound. I'm who God says I am. We declare that in our church every week. I just ask you to do it again. Say, I'm free. Like I mean it. I'm free. I'm not bound.
I'm who God says I am. And God says that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are an overcomer. You are victorious. And we stand on that word today of who God has declared us to be right now. So we declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. We are declaring who we are by the power of the Holy Spirit and by His Word. So be blessed. If anybody needs prayer or anything, we're going to be up here. But we thank you for coming. We thank the Lord for His presence, and we thank you for every, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything you've done. We thank you, Lord God. I pray your blessing on every single person as they travel back home today. That God, that there would be such an awareness of your presence, such an awareness of just, you're just loving up on them. Just love up on them, Lord. And just let this be a day that they can rejoice and say, look what the Lord has done. Lord, you're good. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you. We give you all the glory. Amen and amen. Amen.